الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاكرين والشاهدين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters who may be listening over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have just experienced the month of Ramadan. And this was a month in which young and old in general exerted themselves in the ibadah, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be the masajid were full or the extra nafil namaz a person would have performed each night, the taraweeh salah, so many sujood, so many ruku, with that fasting by day. And in general, people were extremely generous in the month of Ramadan. So if deeds were done in the month of Ramadan, and now the month of Ramadan has left us. So the question is, how do we preserve these good deeds? We've accumulated these heaps and heaps of treasures of good deeds, but how do we preserve these good deeds? In a lengthy hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that manil muflis, who is the bankrupt person? Sahaba radiallahu anhu replied that the bankrupt person is the one who has no wealth, he is poor, that is the bankrupt person. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, no, that is not the bankrupt person. Rather, the bankrupt person is that person who will come on the day of Qiyamah and he will have heaps and heaps of good deeds, treasures of good deeds. But then it will be said to him, شَتَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, that you swore a certain person, you hit a certain person, you stole from a certain person. And then slowly all his good deeds will be transferred to the person in which he, to the person who he oppressed. His good deeds will slowly be transferred to the people who he had oppressed until he is left with no good deeds at all. And what is the eventual outcome of that? He will be cast into the fire of Jahannam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us in this Mubarak hadith that the way to preserve our a'mal and preserve our good deeds is that we bring true justice into our lives. And when we think of justice, then we only think of the court of law, that is where justice is served. No, but justice rather is in our day-to-day lives. It is, so to say, our moral compass. That am I following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I being just with my fellow humans? Or am I committing injustice? Am I committing injustice? In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith al-Qudsi, he quotes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, that O my servants, inni harramtu dhulma ala nafsi. Verily I have made haram, I have prohibited injustice upon myself. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا. And I have made injustice haram between you, between us insan. It is haram for us to commit injustice. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Therefore do not commit injustice. You find the Qur'an-i Majeed, how many ayat of the Qur'an-i Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this aspect of justice. In Surah Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. that certainly we have sent down Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam with clear proofs. لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان. And together with that, we have sent them down with divine scriptures, with the divine books, والميزان. And what else? Instruments of measure, the scale. And what does the scale make us think of? Immediately a person thinks of equality, justice. That is the point of the scale. So a person can use it as an instrument of measure. And then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that people may establish justice. All of this, Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, clear proofs, the divine scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then instruments of measure, and all for us to establish one thing, and that is justice on earth. So how important this aspect of justice is in a life of a believer. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explaining the rank of those who are just in all their affairs. إِنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ عَنْ يَمِينِ الرَّحْمَانِ. That what is the position of those who exercise justice? Verily, those who are just will be on pulpits, on members of Noor, by the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. By the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And then in the further on in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that who are these people? الَّذِينَ يَعْدِلُونَ فِي حُكْمِهِمْ وَأَهْلِهِمْ وَمَا وَلُوا. That they are those who are just in their judgments and with their families and in whatever they do. So from here we can see justice is not only in the court of law, but rather justice is how do we deal with our fellow family members. And whatever they do, in every aspect of our lives, our Islam is so comprehensive that every type of justice is covered, whether it be divine justice, the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And we will erect the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. Mufassirin explained that this is one occasion. There are three occasions on the day of Qiyamah. When a person will forget his brother, he will forget his father. Even the mother who is suckling her child will forget her baby. And this is one of those occasions when those scales of justice are raised on the day of Qiyamah. And now everyone will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his deeds will be weighed. And then you will know whether your deeds have been transferred to someone else or not. So how important this aspect of justice, and this will preserve our amal. We can do all the amal in the world, but if we are committed injustice, then those amal will not be preserved. And if you look at justice, then it is synonymous with the name of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. When a person hears his name, automatically his mind goes to justice, fairness, equality in how he dealt with people. And inshallah we will discuss a few incidents from his life as an inspiration for us to try and bring this justice into our lives. On one occasion, some musk and amber had come in from the lands of Bahrain. During the era of Umar radiallahu anhu, the golden era of Islam, Islam began spreading far and wide. And now from the Mali Ghanimat, some amber and musk from Bahrain was brought to Medina Munawwara. Now this musk and amber had to be weighed, so a value could be ascertained. So Umar radiallahu anhu made an announcement that is there any woman who is proficient in the art of weighing this itar? The reason is in that time, woman was skilled in this, in weighing the itar. So his wife, Atika bin Zaid radiallahu anha, she says that, oh Umar, I can do it. I have skill in this profession. So give it to me and I will weigh this wealth for the Baytul Mal. I will weigh this itar. Umar radiallahu anha says, no, I will not give it to you. Because perhaps whilst you are measuring that itar, some of it may come onto your fingers. And then he demonstrated that you will rub it onto your forehead. And in this way, you will take more from the Baytul Mal than the rest of the Ummah. Look at that sense of justice. That the family of Umar must not commit any injustice to such an extent that even that little itar which may come onto a person's finger. These were the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Again, Umar radiallahu anhu, on one occasion, he fell ill, and the doctors prescribed that he needs to take honey. Honey will help him, it will give him shifa. However, in his home, he did not have any honey. The only honey which was available was that honey which was from the Baytul Mal. Now look at Umar radiallahu anhu, what he does. He ascends the minbar in Masjid al-Nabawi, and then he makes an announcement that I am in need of some honey. Do the people give me permission to take some honey from the Baytul Mal as a cure for my sickness? So careful, so particular. And nowadays, unfortunately, we find that so easily people's wealth is usurped. Amana, trust is betrayed. So, so sad. This is the height of injustice. And this is the cause of people's amal being lost. We all know the lengthy incident of how Masjid al-Aqsa was conquered in the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. But we will just mention one part of that incident. That Umar radiallahu anhu was requested by the Christian commander that he should make the journey himself from Madinah Munawwara to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then only will the Christian commander hand over the keys to Jerusalem. So Umar radiallahu anhu sets out from Madinah Munawwara. No royal procession, nothing of that sort. He sets out with his conveyance and his slave. And as they set out, he says to his slave that I will ride for a certain distance. Thereafter, I will dismount from the conveyance and you will ride for a certain distance. His slave objects, no, you are Amirul Mu'mineen, I have no problem with walking. He says, no, justice will be served. And in this way, from Madinah Munawwara, with that one conveyance, Umar radiallahu anhu heads to Masjid al-Aqsa. And now as they approach in the gates of Jerusalem, Ilya, it is the turn for the slave to be on the mount and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu to walk. And as they are approaching, Umar radiallahu anhu is pulling the conveyance and his slave is mounted on the camel. This is how Umar radiallahu anhu enters as a conqueror of Masjid al-Aqsa. Muhaddithin explain that it was through the justice, the adl of Umar radiallahu anhu, that the gates of Masjid al-Aqsa were opened for us. The gates of Masjid al-Aqsa were opened for this ummah because of the justice of Umar radiallahu anhu. Because even in the Christian scriptures, it was mentioned that that Khalifa who will come and conquer Masjid al-Aqsa, he will be walking while his slave will be on the conveyance. This was the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. There was a Sahabi by the name of Firuz Daylami radiallahu anhu. Very famous, great Sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, a young boy comes to Amirul Mu'mineen Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he says, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, this person, Firuz Daylami radiallahu anhu, he has slapped me unjustly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi, Umar radiallahu anhu calls for Firuz Daylami, who was a governor appointed in a certain area, very high ranking person. He calls for him. And he says, this is the complaint which this young boy has lodged against you. So he explained to Umar radiallahu anhu, we had a bit of an altercation, argument, and I gave him one slap in the process. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, then qisas, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُقِبَتُمْ, that he has a right to slap you. So Firuz Daylami, he says, I'm a governor, high ranking person, now this young boy. Umar radiallahu anhu says, no, qisas will be served. But look at the response of the Sahabi Firuz Daylami. Immediately he goes onto his knees and he says, yes, this young boy can slap me. Let justice be served. So he goes down on his knees. Now he's waiting for this young boy to slap him. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I'll just mention one virtue regarding the Sahabi. He tells the young boy that this is the same Firuz Daylami radiallahu anhu who killed the false prophet Aswad Anasi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him for that and called him Rajulus Salih, a pious man. And this young boy hears this. He says, I did not know the rank of this Sahabi. I have forgiven him. Firuz Daylami turns to Umar radiallahu anhu and he says, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, do you think in the court of Allah I will be forgiven? This young boy has forgiven me, but do you think in the court of Allah I will be forgiven? Umar radiallahu anhu says, yes, I have conviction, you will be forgiven in the court of Allah. But now look at the response. Firoz Daylami says to Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar bin Khattab, I make you a witness that I own 30,000 dirhams. I own a horse and I own a sword. I have gifted all of this to the young boy. Beloved brothers, these were the Sahaba. What hearts they had. Umar radiallahu anhu then praises this youngster. He says, you forgave this Sahabi. And look at the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. That one is, you've been given so much wealth. Then you've been given his sword. And you've been given his horse. This was the heart of the Sahaba. Again, in the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, three young brothers, they drag along a man to Amirul Mu'minin. This young man has killed our father. And we want retribution, we want qisas. Umar radiallahu anhu investigates the matter. He finds out that this person had indeed threw a rock and it had hit the head of this young boy's father, and in that way he had succumbed to his fatal injuries. So after doing the investigation, now qisas has to be taken, life for a life. So this man says to Umar radiallahu anhu that I have young children, I have a family, I stay far away from here. I did not get a chance to tell them that I am leaving. These three people apprehended me and they've taken me. Can you give me 3 days grace so that I may go back to my family, sort out all my affairs, and then come back to you and you can take qisas from me? So Umar radiallahu anhu says, we do not know where this person resides. He's from out of town. We don't have much detail regarding him. However, who will stand guarantee for him? That if he does not return, then the person who is standing guarantee, his life will be taken. Sahaba radiallahu anhu are quiet. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu stands up. And he says, I, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I will stand guarantee for this person. Sahaba radiallahu anhu are shocked. Abu Dharr Ghifari. Just to make you understand who was Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, in Tafsir al-Razi it is mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to Jibreel alayhi salam, and Abu Dharr Ghifari is walking past. Jibreel turns and says, Hada Abu Dharr. This is Abu Dharr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Jibreel, you know Abu Dharr. He says, he is more famous in the heavens than on earth. He is more famous in the heavens than on earth. And that is because of his humility and abundant recitation of Surah Ikhlas. So Abu Dharr stands guarantee for this person. This person leaves and goes. Now one day passes. Second day passes. The third day, this person still has not returned. Until it is around the time of sunset, they see this person coming in the distance. And he comes and he says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I've made it back within 3 days. Qisas can be taken, you can take my life. So Umar radiallahu anhu asks him that you could have ran away, you could have absconded, we would have never found you, you are from a far off place, and Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu's life could have been taken in your place. What prompted you to come back? This was the golden era. Look at his response. Khashitu ay yuqal. He said, I feared that people will say, Dhahaba al-wafa'u fi an-nas. That loyalty, trust, amanat dari has been lost from the ummah. This was a promise on his life. How many times we make promises to pay a person his money back, but then we pull him. We don't settle that debt. We betray trust. Things have been entrusted to us, yet we betray it. And then we hide behind some legal jargon that no one legal in the courts. Judgment has been passed in my favor. Remember, the court of this world is not like the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that scales will be erected on that day, you and I don't want to be taken to task on that day. You rather face the humiliation and disgrace of this world. You rather have justice in this world. Because on that day, the justice of that day is extremely severe. Even if it is an atom's weight, will be taken to task. Thereafter, Umar radiallahu anhu turns to Abu Dharr Ghifari. And he says, oh Abu Dharr, what prompted you to stand guarantee for this person? He could have went away, your life would have been taken. Look at the response of Abu Dharr. Khashitu ay yuqal. He said, I fear that people will say, Dhahaba al-khayru fi an-nas. That goodness, wishing well for my fellow Muslim brother has left this ummah. So this person was in need. He needed someone to stand guarantee. So I said that let me stand guarantee. Let me wish well for my Muslim brother. And then when these three brothers hear the response of these two people, they say, Amirul Mu'mineen, we have forgiven this man. Amirul Mu'mineen asks, that why have you forgiven him? What prompted you to forgive him? Khashina ayyuqal. They said, we feared that people will say, ذَهَبَ الْعَفْقُ فِي النَّاسِ, that forgiveness has now left people. This was the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. If you look at this incident, every single person in this incident had the highest level of justice. They knew that we are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How important it is. Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimahullah, he says that what is the essence of justice? It is that the private and public life of a person is the same. The private and public life of the person is the same. As though he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before him. I cannot do this because my Allah is watching. I cannot harm this person because my brothers, as we had mentioned in the beginning, that let us bring this justice into our lives. Don't worry about the courts of this world. Don't worry about what people say. We know that we have to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know when we are wrong deep down. We know when we are right. Let us come back to this justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada. That be just, exercise justice, hold firm to justice. Walau ala anfusikum, even if it is against yourself. Even if it is against yourself, your parents, trying to show us, emphasizing to us this importance of justice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to bring this justice into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the reality of the akhirat into our lives. When a person knows that he has to stand before those scales on the day of Qiyamah, then you will see how that justice will come into his life. We see the injustice being carried out on our Muslim brothers in Palestine. We see the injustice being carried out. We make dua for them. But together with that, for us to bring the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to bring justice into our lives. We're making dua for them, but then in our own circles, we are doing each other down. We are hurting someone. We are usurping the right of someone. How are we going to draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve all our amal. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.